Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Okay. For those listening live, we're a little late this morning here. We sorry, apologize. It's all my fault.
No, well, you know what? That may be the case, but anybody who who knows me will probably tell you, and I do have friends, which I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, long-term friends that are basically listening to this show, it seems, more and more, and they will tell you that, oh, it's okay, we understand, it's Rod, right?
It's Rod, dude. Yeah. His life is always a few minutes behind.
Well, so I tend to stop and smell the roses a little bit too much. So I appreciate you trying to, you know, cover. It wasn't me. It was Paul. Honestly, guys, this time it wasn't me, but I do tell people that I may be late, but I'm never slow.
Mm.
So, anyway, I promised the two ladies that we have on, today as our guests, that we will keep our little monologue shtick basically to a minimum today.
I think that's why people tune in for the little shtick.
We
go on for 20 minutes and then the poor guest is like, got 5 minutes left in the show.
Well, we will avoid doing that today.
Okay. Shall
we? All right. So I would like to introduce our guests today. They are from CaregiversDirect.com, and we're going to get into that. I've been around, just to give you a little background or remind everybody, I've been around senior industry since full-time, more or less, you know, as much as full-time somebody is unemployed, you know, you're just one more full-time job kind of thing. But I've been involved with seniors probably since 2008 when I became a certified aging in place specialist. And so I have come across caregivers and caregiving agencies and referral agencies, and there's a lot of them. And I was really fascinated by this particular company and their approach. And it really spoke to me in terms of a lot of the areas that I had found wanting in previous experience from exposure to other people out there doing it. And so I can't wait to get into it and find out more specifics. So I'd like to introduce the two ladies, Katie and Reva. Is it Reva or Reva?
It's Reva.
Reva. So Reva and Katie. And I already told you guys, I warned you. I'm going to have you guys introduce yourselves because we're always looking on the Rad Life for these sort of the connections. Why did you find yourself, or how did you find yourself doing what you're doing? And we're having you guys call in remote today, so I have not had the pleasure of meeting you guys in person yet. But from your headshots, the bios that you sent us, you're not necessarily what I'd say. In the twilight of your years, you're young women.
Wow, is he dancing around that one here?
Well, I was trying to be, you know, diplomatic. But how did I do? Okay.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Better than I would have.
All right. So you guys are young, and you find your. I find that extremely interesting. I had a gentleman who was in his 20s that I interviewed, who was working with Alzheimer's, a couple of weeks ago at an event, and it blew me away. And in his case, his father had early stages of Alzheimer, and he pretty much became a caregiver to his dad at a very early age. When his friends were going to parties at high school and prom, he was basically his dad's caregiver.
Who was the girl that came in that was on what made the finals for the audition for the Pussycat Dolls?
Oh, well, that was Carrie Jones. Carrie Jones and Carrie Kasem came in at the same time, the two Carries.
And she's like, you know, they're both gorgeous and 20-somethings or 30-somethings or whatever.
That's why, you know, we tell people that this isn't a senior show. This is more of a journey of aging, things that we deal with, and that journey. Journey, you know, it varies from one person to the other.
It sucks other people into the journey. You may not want to be on the journey yet, but someone you know is on the journey.
So. Yeah, we pretty much get you on the bus and you can't get off. But
right.
So would you take turns maybe and just give us a little of background? And, you know, if you guys are both originally from California, you know, we'll delve a little closer than just the 8x10
why
bio.
This?
Why this?
Why aren't you out partying and whooping it up here?
So, Reva, you want to start or Katie, you guys pick.
Sure, I can start.
Yeah, Reva, go for it.
So So I actually come from a long line of doctors and have kind of found myself in health-related fields for quite a while now. And again, you know, it is pretty personal. And I think from growing up with a family of doctors, really trying to find the best solutions for their patients, my dad's an internist in general medicine and really has, you know, a keen eye for helping his patients as they're getting older. And so, you know, as, you know, the founder of this company was really having issues finding care for her own mother, you know, it's really truly a personal touch point. And as you mentioned, everybody, you know, is either on the bus or at a stop to, you know, get on the bus. Finding care in home that can be customized, that can be personalized, and that can really help someone have a personal choice in the matter has, you know, always been a huge, you know.
But can I interrupt you and ask you the question that we ask everybody? All of that makes sense. So you come from doctors, and we're all getting older, and there's business opportunities here. There's personal reasons to get into this. Why is it nobody talks about this? As we've said on the show many times, my parents, I'm going to be 60 in a couple of weeks. Oh, my God. And my parents passed away a couple of years ago. I'm an only child. I wasn't ready for long-term care. I wasn't ready for being the parent. I wasn't ready for the financial burdens and the physical burdens and everything. Nobody prepared me for any of this stuff. Nobody talks about any of this stuff until you get there, and then it's like it hits you in the face. It's either you or someone you know or someone you love, and you're all like, why did nobody talk about any of this stuff? Why is it so forbidden to talk about this subject?
I'm just going to paraphrase that question slightly. Given the fact that you were around that, okay, was that a conversation that was happening more freely? Were you in an environment that was a little bit more accepting of it as being part of life? I mean, did you grow up where this conversation was taking place? Was it basically something relegated to when your dad was at work?
You know, I think yes and yes.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you know, as a kid growing up, like we, you know, we're responsible for, my parents were responsible for finding care for their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, kind of seeing that process. And again, it's different for everybody. And the thing that, you know, also attracts me to Caregivers Direct so much is that we can help anybody that's in need of in-home care, not just seniors. So again, it's kind of taking that stigma away from having independence in your, maintaining your independence in your home, having the, you know, autonomy to understand, you know, how to find the best person to help you in any type of situation, whether it's a quick visit post-surgery or whether it's, you know, a chronic condition that may deteriorate over time. It's really that wide range of.
But would you agree that most people don't really want to think of it? We're deaf, dumb, and blind. We don't really want to think about these things until we're forced to.
Absolutely. And then it becomes, you know, and it's hard because when you are forced to think about it and a situation occurs, it's a pretty emotional time.
Very much.
That, you know, there's a lot going on. There's, you know, and it's interesting, too, kind of coming from doctors of understanding how patients process information, too.
Right.
So when, you know, somebody's getting older, it's important for them to maintain their independence. And that's, you know,
well, and I think people deal with decisions that are, let's just face it, these are pretty serious decisions that they're making, and in many cases not made beforehand. It's not a proactive process. A lot of people find themselves in a very reactive way to deal with them. And as you, depending on where you are in your life, depending on what your background is as far as exposure, life story, whatever, journey, you deal with decisions differently. So for somebody who could be an incredible decision maker, faced with this particular kind of decision making, could completely find them paralyzed.
Yeah, I've just been shocked. My parents were well off and well educated and successful in life. They prepared financially for the future. They thought through retirement. They were pretty logical Midwesterners. But when it came to talking about things like, how are we going to deal with mom who can't get out of a wheelchair anymore because she has Parkinson's? How are we going to deal with getting her to the bathroom and taking care of those things? And I mean, these just became subjects that we couldn't face or talk about. And as the reality hit us in the face, something my dad is wiping my mother's butt and doing things that he never would have even imagined or could have dreamed.
Right, because there's that aspect of dignity and dealing
and
with
this. And this was just you can't talk about this kinds of stuff freely and openly.
So, Katie, what about you? Do you have a similar sort of connection with this?
You kind of mentioned earlier, I think everybody has some kind of personal touch point. You know, it's amazing once you do start that conversation, you know, people are so engaged because it touches everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But personally, my background, I'm from the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
I
knew there was something I liked
career.
About you, Katie, right away I could tell.
Oh, there you go. You can tell my flat age.
That's the plains,
Right? Gas, cheese,
exactly. But I've worked with our founder, Lisa Greer, for many years. I was so passionate about her personal story, and her reason for starting the company. And then at the same time, my great grandmother, who is 102.
Oh, wow.
Bless her. She's still in fantastic health, but needs more help. I don't know if it's, true. It's a generalization, but for my family, especially in the Midwest, it's kind of understood that, family members step in, friends step in, or you go to assisted living. But I noticed, she wasn't ready for assisted living.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed it takes such a toll on the family, and it can take such a toll.
Emotionally, financially, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Physically, family dynamics, between different family members, trying to decide the best way, the best course of action.
Arguing over the stuff I see.
Absolutely.
You don't understand mom or dad. Well, you just want to put them away, and how horrible, and they start tearing the families apart here.
Yeah, and it can consume the entire family. It's, just amazing to see what a toll it can take.
Right.
And you're right, it isn't discussed much. But for me, the ability to, through our company, the ability to, even for respite care, to find a caregiver to relieve some of that stress, even if the family member continues to be the primary caregiver, just what a huge difference that can make. And, for my family, that wasn't an option. And I just think how fantastic that people do have this option and can, have that personal choice,
That would have been wonderful in my dad's case, because, again, my mother deteriorated. She died before he did and had terrible Parkinson's, and he became her full-time caregiver and took it on as a personal challenge, and it really took a toll on him and made him very angry and upset. I mean, my parents always loved each other and get along, and suddenly they're bickering and arguing, and he's like, damn it, just get up and do this.
I found it very fascinating a couple of years ago when all of a sudden, the buzz thing was caregivers, like cruises for caregivers. And it was like all of a sudden it dawned on people that caregivers actually needed to be taken care of too.
Yeah.
Right.
And my dad would never admit that, they lived back in Michigan up until the last 15 years. When I finally got them to move out here, I'm an only child. There was nobody back there to do it. So my dad is a big, tough guy, and he's going to take this challenge on. And finally it was just like, I can't do this anymore. I need a break. I need help. And I said, well, I can't come back there. You have to come out here. And they finally moved out.
So would you say that your connection and inspiration was because you experienced through somebody else what their struggle was with this?
Definitely. And just seeing how it impacts the family as a whole. I mean, most of my family is still in the Midwest, in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And even, I'm out in California and not engaged day to day with my grandmother's health and with, the family dynamics. But just seeing how it really, really affects everybody. And how, you're right, even that, that release, that respite for the family caregiver, how crucial that can be.
So how did the two of you, if that is a problem, if what I experienced is not atypical here, that these things come up and nobody really wants to sit down, there's a lot of emotion, there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of pent-up feelings, it opens up all these doors to weird discussions, well, you never did like mom. Well, what do you mean I never liked mom or whatever? If that's true, how do you facilitate that conversation? How do you make it okay to talk about these things and deal with them? Because I would think your service
is that included? Is that sort of part of where you get involved? Where maybe this is good.
Need to explain the service.
This is a good point. Why did Caregiving Direct Start, which sounds like it's because of the founder, the owner, Lisa's, you know, personal experience with having to go through the struggle, which we hear about all the time,
right,
and having the ability or the wherewithal to want to actually find a solution that would go beyond just helping her, but helping others, which is very incredibly amicable, you know, for everybody's benefit. But what is the service? And I kind of
what do you do?
Alluded right. to it a little bit that it's different. What is sure. Caregivers Direct?
So what we do, and, you know, Lisa's impetus for starting the company was, you know, she had gone through agencies to find mm-hmm. caregivers. So she was familiar with the process of looking for care.
Yeah.
But what she felt was really lacking, and, you know, what I think helps so many families is being able to have personal choice, being able to empower family members to really choose the right person for their situation.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times if you're at the mercy of an agency, they, you know, kind of send over whoever's available.
Oh, yeah.
They may or may not be a good fit. They may not have the, you know, the skills or the services that you need provided.
Right.
So what our company does is we allow families to connect directly with a group of pre-screened caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
So we have fantastic caregivers in Los Angeles and Orange County. And families are actually able to hire those people directly without having to go through an agency, to know that they've been vetted, to do their own vetting, you know, to have an interview, to really connect with that person before hiring, and really make sure that they are the right fit for their needs, which, you know, in my experience can go such a long way in helping mitigate that what can be a very tense and emotional situation is knowing that you have someone who's available and who can provide the help that you're looking for.
Well, it's not a one size fits all, right? I mean, we were just talking about that. It's not a one size fits all, and it's also there's an aspect of caregivers that I find very interesting. Doesn't really get discussed a lot. Is there's an aspect that is that is companionship.
Yeah,
that's beyond the actual, you know, physical.
Which means
helping.
There's got to be a fit. You can't just come in and change the bed, and if you're not getting along, this is going to just raise the tension.
Well, you can,
right,
but
exactly.
that goes back to what I think the ladies were talking about. You know, that is quote unquote traditional caregiving agency.
Yeah,
is that you're filling in hours? Basically, somebody's there to provide.
My
that.
My dad tried that in the final year, and he went and hired an agency, and they sent women over, and always a different woman. And some of them were fine, and some of them were horrible. Just to give him a few hours break, and he really resented it because my mother felt like a burden and felt like, oh my God, it's, you know, you're just, you don't love me anymore. You're not going to take care of me.
Right.
You're just going to shift me off to these ladies. Pretty soon, she used to say, oh, I guess I'm just going in a home and everybody forget about it. She would get this woe is me kind of
thing. It's a very vulnerable population.
Oh.
And it's evenly more acutely aware of its vulnerability. And then you basically, let's just look at it. You're bringing in a stranger.
Yeah.
Right? Or somebody that you have just met, and you're putting that in an environment that up till that point was considered their safe haven sanctuary, and now that has this new element in it. So, no,
it's making it more public that mom's shape, you know, nobody got to see mom but dad, you know, suddenly you're letting other people in, and she doesn't like this, and he doesn't like it because he feels inadequate that he even needs to ask for help. And
so how does Caregivers Direct work? I mean, you said, you know, you're connecting people directly or allowing them to connect directly with the caregivers. So what, I mean, it is a business, I'm assuming, right? It's not a nonprofit. Is it a nonprofit? What kind of format is it?
No, it is a business.
It is a business.
Sure. So families pay us a subscription, and they subscribe to our network in order to get access to our pre-screened caregivers.
And you have a couple of tiers, I think, correct? You have a couple of tiers of membership?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And again, this kind of goes into the customization, knowing that everybody's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
We are, you know, an online-based company.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody is hiring for themselves or maybe for their parents and, you know, may not be computer savvy or may want a little extra hand in the process, we have a concierge service offering where we're able to really assess, you know, help a family assess their needs. We're able to help them search our network. We're able to facilitate interviews, helping them to run enhanced background checks, you know, continue with the screening process and really make sure that, you know, that those caregivers that they're connecting with are, you know, fully aware of what, you know, may be asked of them and really helping to round out that whole hiring process.
And is this something I can do remotely? So you're in just two counties right now in Southern California, but I assume you're going to try and spread this to a larger area. And if
Absolutely,
so, then I've got parents in Oklahoma, and I live here in California, and I can't go back there, and they don't want to come out here, so maybe I can give them some assistance. My wife went through this with her mother in the final years in
sure.
Pennsylvania, and there were a few extended family members there, but they weren't doing a very good job. They didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
And so we had to engage somebody long distance to do what they should have, in our opinion, should have been doing, but weren't doing, cleaning the house and taking care of her basic necessities. And in so doing, it was difficult. You just pick somebody out of a lineup here. You know, you look online, you say, okay, go. But we never met the people that came in. We had no idea if they were good or bad.
Yeah, so that, you know, that's definitely, you know, where our caregivers are located right now. And again, kind of with the online process, you know, we have a lot of information available for each caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
Caregivers fill out, you know, a pretty extensive application. We do a real pretty stringent screening process before we allow a caregiver to become a member of the Caregivers Direct Network. And on their profile, we actually list reviews from previous employers, too.
That's
when a family's searching, they can really read about each caregiver. And what's interesting is they're talking about, you know, families hiring directly. So it's important for the caregiver to connect with the family as well, too, to make sure it feels like a good match for them.
That's a big
caregivers. And through us, you know, caregivers are able to set their own wages. They're able to, their own rates. They're able to set their own schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're kind of reading the reviews, you can see that a lot of these caregivers that are, you know, working for the families directly essentially become a part of that family.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I'm big on language, and I think people, the words people choose to use is very telling. And when I look at our story section on your website, and I see words like when our loved ones couldn't find the care that they, and the word I'm looking at here is deserved, okay, and then there, you know, through traditional agencies, and then there's the other aspect where it says, you know, with firsthand knowledge that above all else choosing a caregiver is personal. Deserved and personal are languages that we don't usually see. It's more of a need base versus a deserved base. And that, to me, speaks of respect. It speaks of, decency, that you basically, even though that person is in a very vulnerable state, it's not just a task thing.
Right.
It's actually a care thing. And
not like cutting the lawn or something here. Yeah, right.
I think even in, you know, in an ideal world, I would go so far as to say it's a partnership, you know, partnering with someone else to, you know, help with either your care or the care of your loved one. And I think that's, you know, especially for someone looking for long-term care, chronic illness care, you know, that's really the way we look at it. You're engaging with a partner. And, you know, we screen every caregiver on our network with the, you know, the mindset of whether or not we would bring them into our own home or whether we would feel comfortable sending them to take care of a loved one. You know, it's really, really important to us.
Well, let me ask you this question. We're about to go to that break, but I want to ask you this question. You know, what is the typical person looking for in terms of care? I mean, we talked about that it's not a senior thing. So from your experience, from what you guys have encountered, is it a very diverse set of needs or from where people are coming from, or is it more general? You can kind of compartmentalize it into a couple of categories. What's been your experience?
Well, you know, I think it is, you know, it is a much wider range than I think occurs to people. And one of the big reasons why we, you know, feel so strongly about what we do is being able to provide care for people who may kind of be in that stage of life where, you know, going to an agency, sometimes the first question they ask you is, does your loved one need diapers? And, you know, if I'm 35 and recovering from surgery, that's, you know, not a question that I need to be asked or you know. I think it's understanding, you know, that care can come in all shapes and sizes, from short-term, long-term, middle of life, end of life, everything in between.
Hey, actually, if anything, when you ask the question that isn't really applicable to you, when you're in that state where you're looking for somebody to actually, you know, show confidence and certainty in a time that you're feeling very uncertain, a question that is inappropriate or not applicable gives me a complete sense of doubt in the person's ability that's asking the question.
Sure.
And that being said, can you tell me kind of range of ages that you guys have been dealing with stuff as far as care? I mean, just a 16 to 60. I mean, what has been your experience?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, you know, a majority, you know, those looking for care are baby boomers and older. Mm-hmm. But again,
watch it. You're getting close to home here now.
it's going to be nap time for Paul here.
But the nice thing that I like too that I've seen is that we have kind of created this platform in a way that's easy for anybody to use. Mm-hmm. So we had a senior looking for care who I had the nicest conversation with him. He's 90 years old and he is caring for his wife and he wants a little help and we kind of helped him to understand what you're looking for, what he's looking for, and again it breaks down into the different buckets of services, but like Katie mentioned, everything, there's no kind of one size fits all,
right?
And is it a la carte? Do you pay as you go for different services, or is it sort of one fee covers a range of things?
It's one fee that covers access to our network,
right? Okay.
You provide the, you're the agency then, in effect. You go find these people.
The clearinghouse.
Of resources. And then they get a list from you, and then it's up to them to negotiate or meet or whatever and work out arrangements
with
these people.
Right. We provide that introduction to our pre-screened caregivers. And then families are able to connect, either messaging through the site or connecting with them directly, mm-hmm. and then they're able to work out all of the details of the hiring process to make sure it works perfectly well on both sides.
Do you have any in Palm Springs? I have a 91-year-old aunt who's in need right now here, too. So.
That's coming up on our list.
See, the show's paying off already.
Yeah, right. Palm Springs, exactly. Palm Desert, that whole area is huge. I mean, that's where my parents moved, and then my aunt moved out to be with them. My parents passed away, and so I have a 91-year-old maiden aunt with no other caregiver but me, and she's running into trouble where she can't get to the grocery and can't do certain things anymore like she used to, and she needs help, and I don't know where to go find help for her. She doesn't know where to go find help.
I will give you guys, I want to give you guys also another shout out, like kudos. You mentioned it in a minute ago about like access information and the ease of use and the platform that you've developed. We talk about disability. I mean, I've been a commercial interior designer since 94, and we talk about ADA compliance and disability and kind of all this stuff. And it tends to be, in a lot of cases, where people meet the minimum requirement, which I've always found to be almost insulting. That's where you start, not where you end. And one of the things that I have found is that seems to be lacking, or it drags behind even more so than in the built environment when it comes to actually navigational tools on the internet, right? And so platforms that are basically so heavy and so complicated that a person in that moment of duress that's trying to find answers cannot do that. It just adds to their stress.
Well, especially if you're older. My aunt doesn't know the internet. She wouldn't go on. So, if I wasn't here, maybe she'd be forced to try and figure some of this stuff out, and she can't go in the yellow pages anymore. She doesn't know how to go onto Craigslist, and if she did, she'd get a wide range of people from, wonderful caregivers to frauds,
Nice. Yeah, it is. And it's nice to see, like in the case of your website, where you got clear contrasting letters, you're not trying to be too fancy, it's very simple, there's six buttons underneath your resource page that then it breaks it down into sort of a navigational tree. That is, you're in the business of providing resources, and you stand for what you are basically philosophically in the format of what you look like and how people navigate and find that stuff. So I just want to say, kudos to that, because I don't see that enough.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We got to take a break,
and we'll be back, ladies. Stick around.
You have been listening to the... If you are like the majority of Americans, you want to continue living in a familiar environment throughout your maturing years. In fact, according to many surveys, 82% of homeowners overwhelmingly prefer to age in place, which means living in their current homes safely, independently, and comfortably, regardless of age or ability level. With over 30 years of combined experience in residential, commercial, hospitality, and destination resorts fields, Your Home for a Lifetime is a company dedicated to empowering you to maintain your quality of life and independence by helping you make your house your home for a lifetime. Do you want to reorganize or remodel your home? Do you want to add a full bathroom and possibly a bedroom on the main floor? Are you looking to make your kitchen more functional? Is an aging parent moving in, or your child is moving out, or even moving back in? Call Your Home for a Lifetime at 949-492-1872 or check them out on the web at yourhomeforalifetime.com and find out how they can help you make your house your home for a lifetime.
Are you looking for an in-home caregiver? Caregivers Direct is an exclusive membership network that offers access to Orange County's most experienced caregivers at half the cost of a traditional caregiving agency. Know who you're hiring before they come through your door using our comprehensive background checks and online reviews. Sign up today at caregiversdirect.com to take advantage of our limited time promotion and receive up to 20 hours of care for free.
I need 20 hours of care. Can I get 20 hours of personal care here for free? That's what I need, I think. I need 20 hours
of personal care.
At least 20 hours.
At least, I think you need a lot more care, and I'll use the...
You know, I have to just ask a question here, and it just occurred to me, maybe this is a future growth for the company, or maybe this isn't an area you want to go into, but in addition to caregivers, do you also act as a resource directory for other things they might need, like where to go get walkers or wheelchairs, maybe part of Rod's services.
Aging in place.
Yeah, aging in place and help redesign your home so you can stay there long. I mean, are there other things that you can help us find at that point in our life other than just somebody to come in and help us take care of somebody?
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that it wasn't an original part of the business plan, but that's something that we're working, especially as we're connecting with, families and businesses in Los Angeles and Orange County is building out that list of resources for seniors. We really want to be, a one-stop shop. We want to be a resource center for everything that people are looking for.
You know, the interesting thing is that we're talking, what I'm hearing, and it's time for this. It's so time for this, right? Is that it's almost the equivalent of the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. Mm-hmm. That if some entity can actually have the trust or the consumer report,
trust and
verify aspect,
right.
Where they're not, they're not seen as we're making money left, right, and sideways on every service and every tier. We're not selling you kind of upsells, right? That what it is you're paying for access. It's very clean, very straightforward, but it basically that you can trust that the information that you're going to get has been qualified, triple checked, all this stuff.
And you don't have time when you're dealing with
you don't
when
have time to do
comes
that.
Up. Suddenly, mom comes home and she can't walk to the bathroom. I don't have a whole lot of time to figure out what are we going to do and how are we going to help her that. I don't have a lot of time to figure out what kind of toilets are out there. Does she now need a higher toilet to sit on and grab bars? I don't need have a lot of time or resource to figure out who's going to help her do this and how much is it going to cost and where do I go find these people. There were so many questions that kept popping up, and it was always like an emergency. You know, mom would come home and suddenly we needed to figure something out. Or later on, dad, I needed to figure something out. And I wish there had been a place we could go to get those answers.
That you just blindly could, kind of trust. Yeah.
Not just Craigslist and say, can somebody put in a grab bars or can somebody take care of dad here?
Well, and again, it's things as simple as this. Most people are going to be searching for stuff on their phone. They're not going to go sit in front of the computer, right?
Exactly, right.
So other than
Craigslist, which was the Wild West, as they described it, you don't know what you're getting.
Well, and I'll pre-warn everybody else who's going to be on this show. Everybody who shows up on this show, I do my due diligence and I check them out online.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Right. So I'm checking them out on my computer. I'm checking them out on my laptop. I'm checking them up on the tablet. I'm checking them out on my phone. And again, I stand behind what I said about you guys really taking the care that you need, which really shows, which gives me a sense of trust and faith in the fact that when it comes to care, you are going to care to give me the right information or provide me access to the right information. Because even your mobile optimized, your website is viewable and very easy to navigate on my mobile thing. I'm looking for information.
Do they have I'm not looking at it. Do they have bigger fonts or anything?
Yes. I mean, it's something as simple as bigger fonts, a smiling face looking at me when I actually get on there, versus a doctor basically, giving me a bad, like he's about to give me bad news. So that's also.
How did you? So talk about that. How did you guys? You're not of age. How do you know how to serve me and my aging?
Yeah, how do you
parents?
Address that? Like when I mean, obviously you're a voice on a phone, or maybe, but somebody goes on the website, and what they're seeing is younger people. Now, I think that actually builds a peer-to-peer connection that in the past, when you had only sort of either academic professionals or people kind of talking at you or down to you from a position of expertise, that maybe didn't really work. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, what has been your experience dealing with people? Do you find that it is...
How did you get savvy
to work
to this
harder
market?
At get establishing
yeah, right.
that? Or
yeah, I mean, I think a lot of, you know, with any business, a lot of what you do is dictated by your customers.
Yeah.
And what your customers' needs are. And so, you know, as we've been developing our platform for a while, you know, we've made some adaptations to it to really make sure that what we're presenting is digestible, is approachable, and, you know, as we were talking about kind of word choice before, is, you know, still maintaining that dignity. Right. And so I think a lot of the way that we formatted the site, the way that we formatted the searches, the way that we formatted, you know, every subscribed user has a dashboard mm-hmm. that's kind of their home base. And so all of the navigation is done through that dashboard. And that was, you know, important feedback that we had received, really allowing families to know exactly where they can always come back to.
Mm-hmm.
And that they have that safe to as their hub of information.
Hold on. I'm going to hold up my phone from across the room and see if Paul can actually see it with his glasses
on. Oh, my
goodness.
Oh my God! Look at it. It's big.
you can actually
see it from over here. Yeah.
So.
That was really important. We went through a couple of different iterations of what font size do we need? What
does
make this easy to use, easy to read? We really want to make sure that it's just as easy as possible for every type of user.
You got that right.
And also that's, you know, kind of a reason why our concierge service grew out of, you know, some people just aren't as computer, you know, they don't feel as comfortable going online. So we're here to really give them that personal
particularly
touch.
At that age. Yeah, right.
Absolutely. Right.
So you know, we touched on it a little bit in the piece that you guys provided that we ran right after the break or during the break, which thanks very much for doing that. It's a great little blurb for your business. But there was a mention about what do you look for in hiring a caregiver? And what would you advise? I mean, what do people need to look for
when
hiring a caregiver?
Give us some tips. The five tips everybody should look for. Because, again, it's something you're only going to do it once or twice in your life. And not something I get good at because I'm doing it all the time here.
Right.
And you're emotional, you're upset, there's a crisis, somebody came home from the hospital, suddenly fell, something happened, and suddenly there's a provoking incident that says, we got to take action now. Not only do I not know where to go, I don't know what to look for.
What to look for.
Yeah.
So, give us some tips.
Go for it. I'll start with a few, and then I think, you know, I think Katie and I, it's interesting. I think we both, you know, have our set, you know, kind of top things. So I'll start with a few, and then Katie, if you want to kind of jump in with a few more. But I think for me, you know, one of the most important things to look for is personality. You know, again, it's somebody in your home. It's somebody that you're going to have to feel comfortable with in, you know, situations that may not be super glamorous. So, you know, having somebody, one, that matches your needs personally and can interact and connect with family members. And
I'm going to stop you right there because, again, I'm going to give a personal experience. So my dad, towards the end of my mom's life, said, I can't do this anymore. I need some help. And I said, well, why don't you get somebody to come in and watch her for a few hours while you go play golf or whatever you got to do to relax and unwind here. And so we brought a woman in, and all she did is sit and watch. This is my dad's description. All she did is sit and watch television. And he's like, you know, damn it, I'm paying this woman just to sit there and sort of wait for my mom to need her to do something. She didn't talk to my mom. She didn't do anything. She was just sort of there in case my mom needed something. And then my mom is old school, so she doesn't want to ask anybody for anything.
Right.
And so she sits there, and this other woman sat there, and my dad said, this is a disaster.
Yeah.
So personality. I never would have thought of that one, but that was a big reason he stopped it. There was no personality.
Well, and we've talked about this before. There is a book. I'll find it. I got it as a gift a few years ago. But, you know, there's other layers to this. It's not just the medical or the physical need for care. There's also, you know, there people have different spiritual beliefs. They have different religions. Well, they have different dietary habits.
We talked about it. If you're an Islamic couple or something, you can't even, you got to be careful that you can't touch the woman.
There's private, I mean, forget even on a religious level, even on a cultural level, ethnic level, you know, certain people have a different measure of personal space, you know, with 2 feet is too close.
Katie knows, she's from the Midwest. We don't touch each other in the Midwest. There's not a lot of hugging and touching. That's right.
Well, it's because of all the coats you guys wear in winter.
Just kind of stay over there until I get to know you. That's great. I know you're my buddy, but don't come up and hug me.
So I'm gonna just say, both of you, just take a minute and give us, like, in your own personal opinion, what are the top two or three things to look for other than, like, personality?
What's on your checklist that I should, when I've got to go hire somebody. So
what do you think is the most important three things?
I think for me, another one is kind of competence and comfort with service levels that are provided. So to know that you're bringing somebody into your home that knows how to care for the needs that you have, and who can anticipate the needs, and who can anticipate, you know, what types of activities should be taking place. So to me, you know, I think kind of that competence and having somebody that approaches caregiving as a career is something that's really important.
Well, okay, again, so in my mother's case, she had Parkinson's, so she could walk, but very poorly. She tried to be in a wheelchair most of her last year to her life because she just felt the fear of falling. And women would come in and they'd try and get her up, and it was like, well, come on, let's go. And it was like, well, come on, let's go.
It's
not the way to do it.
So it sounds to me like not only being a caregiver, but specifically having some knowledge of a specific situation,
or wound
that is
care,
being dealt
whatever.
With, right?
My mother would fall, and these women didn't know how to change a bandage.
Somebody who's had experience with Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, whatever
it is,
you're dealing with.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
And Reba mentioned approaching it as a career, and I really look for, you know, for me, looking for that experience level. You know, this isn't somebody who, you know, started caregiving 6 months ago, you know, because they, you know, felt like it could be interesting. Like, really looking for, I look for people who have, you know, a significant level of experience, you know, I would say minimum 2 years, and specialized training in particular. You want to know that these people, the caregivers, are, you know, always looking to learn, always looking to increase their skill set. That's so important for me.
Well, because that speaks to commitment. That speaks to the desire to increase your knowledge and aptitude in basically this thing that you care enough about to be doing all this time. Yeah, versus somebody who's just, you know, I'm going to just drive. You know, I'm going to drive for Uber because I want to meet people, kind of thing.
I'm going to tell you that in the handful of people that my dad went through at the agency, whatever one he tried, most of them look like security guards. They look like low paid, low motivated, low-educated people who just needed a job, and
okay. So to that exact point, Paul,
it's not the best and the brightest.
To that exact point is why I found Caregivers Direct as a platform and an approach actually great, because what it does is it frees up this control factor in terms of cost breakdown and, you know, return on our costs and return on investment and da-da-da that the agency is doing. What they're doing is they're providing a direct connection. They're filtering and qualifying, but then they're providing direct connection, and that deal is being struck between the actual caregiver and the homeowner or the person who is in need of care, which means that there isn't somebody controlling that income flow for that caregiver. To where they act like, you know, I'm just basically putting in the time. I really don't care. I have disconnected. I'm a disgruntled employee, if you will.
And I would say, you know, a lot of the caregivers that work with agencies, you know, you're paying a premium to the agency, sometimes as much as, you know, $25 an hour. And the caregiver is often taking home $12 or $13 an hour. And so you can see why there's, you know, low level of engagement, probably a little less motivation. But when we find, when the caregivers are able to really decide, set their own rates, wages, and engage directly, there's a much higher level of, you know, just engagement on the job.
I think that's a huge differentiator.
It is.
Yes. Because otherwise, as you said, they're getting these hourly employees that are just putting in the hours here.
So two questions for you guys. One, which is, okay, fine. How do you... Like, why should families know that they can trust the caregivers on your site? Like, what do you, how do you filter your caregivers? How do you qualify them? Yeah, how do you vet them?
Well, as Reva mentioned, you know, our application process is, it's pretty involved. You know, it's not for somebody who just wants to sign up and put their profile up on a website, which there are, you know, Craigslist you can just hop on and apply for jobs as you like. We have a very thorough application. Caregivers are asked to write about their experience, their skills, experience with an emergency, stories from on the job. And then from there, you know, we run a preliminary background check. We always encourage families to run their own background checks as well, because I think it's, you know, just important for peace of mind, knowing that you've also seen that record, you have that report, you know, to kind of confirm for yourself that the person has a clean record.
Sure.
And then, you know, we interview each of our caregivers one-on-one, really dig into why they're doing what they're doing. Are they passionate about what they're doing? You know, what do they bring to the table? And then from there, you know, we personally call all of their references. We post their feedback on the profiles. And, you know, I would say we probably only accept maybe 5-7% of the caregivers who apply.
Wow.
So we're, you know, our standards are pretty high.
Well, and let me just, you know, people are probably listening to the show going, okay, well, how much does all this cost? And I'm, you know, I'm just going to read off here because I got it in front of me. You know, you've got, from what I see, is there's three tiers. There's membership, there's premium membership, and there's concierge service. And in each one of those, you're actually providing free hours of care, 10, 15, and 20, as you go up in the tiers, and they range from, it's like $299 a year, and correct me if I'm wrong, ladies, $299 a year for the membership, $399 for premium membership, and $599 a year for concierge service. And I'll just take the two ends of this, that, you know, the membership is complete access to the Caregivers Direct unmatched caregiver network, and the top side is annual membership plus 6 hours of concierge service, which is, I'm assuming, a more custom, you know, one-on-one kind of walking you through the process. I think it's really great that it is, you have taken not only qualifying through a very extensive process these caregivers, but you've also tried to simplify the process for people to get to the point where they need to get to.
So is this sort of like, kind of like Angie's List for caregivers? Is that a fair analogy?
Yeah, you can definitely describe it that way, knowing that we've got their kind of Caregivers Direct seal of approval. I think that's a great way to describe it.
Okay. All right. Well, we got to wrap up here. How do they reach you and find you and learn more about it? We'll start with Katie here.
Go ahead, Katie.
Go, Katie.
We're both very eager to tell you how to get in touch. We're a family-run business, and so Reva and I are the ones in the office. We're the ones that you'll be, you know, talking to if you call.
Yeah.
The website is caregiversdirect.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can sign up online. You can give us a call. Phone number is 310-601-3031, and that gets you straight to me and Reva.
And that's caregivers, plural, with an S, right?
Exactly. Correct.
Caregivers.com. Okay.
Caregivers Direct.
Caregiversdirect.com.
Yes.
And, you know, it really is cutting out the middlemen of the agencies. And I'm not picking on agencies. I mean, I know a lot of people but if you are empowered to make the choices yourself, I think it also gives you an empowerment to be there for the person. Like if you're the decision making versus the person who's needing the care, this actually empowers you. This gets you from A to Z quickly. It's not as costly as learning, and you know, heaven forbid that you actually fall into a bad situation, and now it's very expensive.
Well,
so,
and look what happened with, that's why I use that analogy, and Angie's List turned it into a huge phenomenon where, again, trying to find somebody to do all these tasks around your house was difficult for people as we became two working families and fewer and fewer is not how to do this. So this woman, Angie, whoever it was, back in Indiana, I think it was somewhere, Indianapolis.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
She decided, I'm going to put together
another
a pre-approved list of home helpers here.
So I'm going to just do a quick comparison. You know, on what we call traditional agencies, it's been pretty steady. $25 an hour is pretty much on average.
Mm-hmm. That's
okay.
What we were
paying. I think for Caregivers Direct, it's $15 an hour on average. So there's definitely a savings in there, and you're being educated, you're being informed, you're being given access. So that just is something that you take with you.
And it's someplace you can go and get it done and feel comfortable and confident of what you're doing, not just flopping around like we did.
So, Reva, you know, close us out here. Anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
No, I think that's terrific. You know, I think it comes down to personal choice, and it comes down to savings, so that
the importance of good quality care can be affordable to anybody who's looking for it.
Well, we need you to come back and give us some tips from time to time on what people should look for, what kinds of services are offered, because I don't even think people know. We didn't know what this woman was supposed to do, and so she didn't do anything. She just sat there and waited for us to tell her, and we didn't, you know, we felt like we were paying
for
nothing.
I'd like to have you guys come back, definitely, and you know what, even call in and say, hey, look, we just had a recent example of something that we may find useful for somebody else, because those, again, are stories that don't get shared enough, and we all get better and
it's
more.
It's all a big secret world that I didn't go out and tell my friends, hey, let me tell you what happened with, we brought this caregiver home to meet my mother. Let me tell you the story. No, we didn't talk about any of that stuff. So what we experienced, I don't think I've shared it with anybody except until this show came along. Now I can't stop blurting all these things out.
So go check out caregiversdirect.com. Got everybody, you know, cost savings, personal choice, quality care, peace of mind. And thank you, ladies, for joining us on The Rad Life. We'll have you back for sure.
Thanks so much.
Thank you
so much
for having us.
All right. Take care.
You have been listening to The Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.